I sort of start talking about what a healthy church is, I thought, well, what is church? And, you know, if you ask somebody on the street, what's church? Most people would say, well, it's a building where they're religious, or it's a building where Christians gather. But I'm sure that most of us in this room would not give that answer. Church is far more than a building. And I came across this video, and I thought it summed up quite well what church is. Now, just a little disclaimer, the narrator is no David Attenborough, but, you know, just bear with it because the message is quite good.
What is the church? Is the church a building? Is the church a pastor? Or the staff? Is the church the music, the tradition, or the ministries? These are all good things, but they are not the church. Take them away, and the church is still here. Why? Because you are still here. The church is you. The church is you with a purpose. The church is you on a mission. The church is you with a plan, a simple plan to plug into God at a weekend service, to charge up in a small group community, to live out using your gifts and passions, and to pass on your faith to those who do not know Christ. When you and I live like this, all the things we used to do in church become things we do as the church. God desires it. The world needs it. We are called to be it. What is the church? The church is you.
So I did warn you about the voiceover, but I think, you know, when you strip back the cheesiness, there is a good message. The church is you. The church is me. The church is us. People with a purpose, a mission, it said, purpose to love God, a mission to connect others to God, to plug in, to charge up, to live out, to pass on. So, what is a healthy church? Well, today I want to talk about a few ways that we should be a healthy church, but actually they're not either or ways. They are three ways together that forms a healthy church. And I think you'd all agree that our nation, our country, our community, they might not know it, but they are in need of churches that are healthy, vibrant, fruitful. Churches that are focused on God. Churches that are committed to loving one another. And churches that are committed to demonstrating the love of God to the community. And that's what we want to be, isn't it? We want to be a church that is fruitful. And so I'm going to look today at three ways, three directions that we should be reaching if we're a healthy church. Reaching up, reaching in, and reaching out. Now, it's going to come as no surprise to some of you that jigsaw's feature in my message this morning. Many of you will know that I'm a bit of a jigsaw geek, and that's fine, you know. But I love jigsaws, and I often talk about them, and I often talk about them in relation to the church, because I think there's a good metaphor. And a few years ago, I was doing a children's talk here, and I gave you all a piece of jigsaw from the same jigsaw to remind you that we are all from this church. We're all part of God's church. We're part of the family. I've still got mine. I keep it in my purse. It's my badge of identity. To show I belong to you and you belong to me. We are a family together. And so I want to talk a bit about jigsaws. Because when I start a jigsaw, little tip for you now, I always start with a corner piece. And the reason I do that is because It gives a little bit of structure, but it also helps with direction, because then you carry on, you do the edges. Always do the edges before the middle, in case you didn't know. And you can see on that picture there, you can't see what that picture's going to form. It looks a bit of a mess at the moment, but the corner piece is there. I've started with the corner piece, and the other two pieces have joined on. Now, those two pieces wouldn't join together if that corner piece wasn't there. And that is the starting place. And we just sang the song Cornerstone. And if we are to be a healthy church, then we need to be a church that builds on the cornerstone, that reaches up to God and builds on that, because that is the place to start. And I just want to offer a few different ways that we could reach up. First way is reaching up through worship. We've just been doing that. And I don't know about you, but I always feel better when I've had a time of just forgetting about everything else and just worshipping. And there's a reason for that, because we can look for fulfillment in our jobs, in our hobbies, in our relationships, and find a level of fulfillment. But we've been made to worship God. And there is a dimension in us that needs to worship God. It says in Psalm 95, verse 6, come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. We need to worship our Maker, but we need to take that time to reach up, because that's the starting point. Because a healthy church is about us being healthy individually and coming together in worship. Because when we're reaching up in worship, we're aligning ourselves with God. We're giving him the praise that he deserves as our Maker. And whatever feelings and circumstances we've walked in with when we come to worship, or that we've been in, if we worship in our homes or wherever we worship, worshipping God can reach us in a way that nothing else can. And so we need to, as a healthy church, be reaching up with worship. We also need to be reaching up through prayer. This is, you know, the basic bread and butter of church, worship, prayer. Because prayer is how we speak to God. It's our lifeline to God. It's how he speaks to us when we take the time to listen. Because he is the cornerstone of the church, and we should be communicating with him. And we can do it individually, any place, anyhow, any body, you know that. But there's a healthiness to us gathering together and praying, being of one voice in speaking, in reaching up in prayer to that cornerstone of our church. If you read Acts, you can see that the early church, throughout the passages, it says they met together and prayed. They met together and prayed. When times were good, when times were bad, they met together and prayed. They recognized they were building a church, and it needed to start with the cornerstone, with communicating with God. And you know, in January, we had a teaching on prayer, and we got passionate about prayer, and our prayer meetings were buzzing and more exciting. And now we've dwindled. We've lost our passion. And we need to recognize that to be healthy, we have to get that passion for prayer back, for corporate prayer, for individual prayer. Because it's important. It's an important cornerstone for this church, for God's church, to reach up in prayer, to reach up in worship, to reach up in prayer. And another way of reaching up, and this is the hardest one, is reaching up through faith. Because when God sees our faith, he's attracted to it. We are saying, yes, we trust you. We trust, we hope. We can hope in you. We trust in your promises. But that's so hard, isn't it? And Abraham is a really good example of that. And I love this passage from Romans 4, verses 19 to 21. Without weakening in his faith, Abraham faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead, and they had been promised children. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Abraham was able to reach up in faith. He looked at the facts in front of him. He was nearly 100. Sarah was about 90. They shouldn't be able to have children, but God had promised children. The facts were it shouldn't happen, but Abraham had that trust that God's promises were greater than the facts in front of him. And he had that faith. And of course, they did have Isaac. And Abraham did go on a little journey where he lacked faith as well. But I find this is really hard to reach up in faith, because I can have lots of faith for you guys, but I struggle to have faith sometimes for my own situations. And I've had lots of conversations with people over the last few months where they felt the same. And I really believe we're put in family because sometimes we find it hard to reach up in faith for ourselves. But I know there's people out there who are reaching up in faith for me, and I'm reaching up in faith for you. And I can't help but remember the example of the Israelites when they were fighting the Amalekites and Moses had to hold his arms up for them to be winning. But he struggled. He struggled to do that, and he was probably struggling with faith. And then Aaron and Hur came alongside and they held his arms up. They reached up in faith for him. They supported him and they won. And sometimes it isn't something we've got to do on our own. I really believe God's put us together in a family so we can reach up in faith with each other. So we need to prioritize reaching up, remembering who our corner piece is, who our cornerstone is. But we also need to be reaching in. And I don't know if you can see that that picture is starting to form, might be something some of you recognize. Now, I've said church isn't a building. It's just a representation of you. If I'd had a picture of all of you, I would have used that instead. Because as well as reaching up, we need to be reaching in. We are part of one body. It says one is a hand, one is a foot. We all have different functions. And if we're talking about jigsaw puzzles, we are all different shapes, sizes, shades, all different parts. But we fit together, and you can start to see that picture of church. When we live in unity and harmony, we're reaching in, we're connecting with each other. That is a healthy church. Three ways we can reach in with. First of all, reaching in with friendship. Now, I don't know if any of you have been watching Wimbledon. Anybody been watching Wimbledon? Oh, Sue's been enthusiastically watching Wimbledon. I was watching it yesterday. Andy Murray and Serena Williams playing the mixed doubles. And I must say that when I watch doubles, it really gets on my nerves that after every point they go up to each other and they give a high five or a fist pump, whether it's the worst point they've ever done or whether it's the best point they've ever done. But I watched it yesterday having prepared this with a different lens. And I thought, you know, they are reaching in. After every point, they're reaching in. Because they are together with a common goal. They have something in common, tennis. They want to win. They're working together. But it doesn't matter if they make a mistake. They're still reaching in. Yeah, we're still friends. We're still on the same page. And they were having fun out there. And sometimes we think we can't have fun in church. And we are. Yes, we're a family. And families, you know, in families, certain people get on with better, with other people better. But we can be friends. We can have fun. We're called to love one another. Because we've all got in common that we've been forgiven, set free by God's grace. And that is reason to be reaching in friendship. To be kind to one another. Not turning up in the first song of the meeting and leaving in the last. Talk to anyone. Because you know what? What happens before the service and what happens after the service is still church. And it's still really important. It's fine to do the reaching up, But we also have to do the reaching in. And it's important to be friends with one another, to show interest in each other. I don't need to tell you how to do that. But reaching in with friendship. Secondly, reaching in with support. Each one of you in this room today will need support at some point. And each one of you will be able to give support at some point. That's what it is to be church. That's what it is to be family. Reaching in. And if you look up the word support in the dictionary, there's many different definitions. Support is to give assistance or comfort. But this is the one that really struck me. Support is to keep something or somebody stable, to prevent it or them from falling. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried to move a jigsaw when you're in the middle of doing it, but it's hard. It's particularly hard to move pieces that have not got lots of other pieces surrounding them. Yeah, if you move a bulk of jigsaw, I'm giving you all these tips, you're all going to go home and do jigsaws. If you move a bulk of jigsaw, it moves easier than where there's bits that are fragmented. They're more likely to break. And it's the same with church. If we are reaching in and supporting one another, our jigsaw pieces are fitting together, then we are stronger. When the movement comes, which it will, we will not break because we have got each other's backs. We're supporting one another. It says in Ephesians 4:16, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. We all have a part to play in this church family of supporting one another, reaching in with support. And actually, if you need support, you still need to reach in, because sometimes people are not mind readers, and it's reaching in and saying, I need some help, and not being afraid to do that in family. And thirdly, reaching in with encouragement. I think encouragement is a fuel in life, and I think discouragement is the complete opposite. Because those of you, well, all of you, have experienced discouragement. It can be paralyzing. It can cause you to withdraw. Even in the last few months, I've experienced that myself. And you just want to hide. And you never want to do whatever it was you were doing when you were discouraged again. But when you're encouraged, you are given courage to step out in faith, to be the person that God wants you to be. And we should, as a church family, be reaching in and encouraging one another. And I reckon it probably, for every one discouragement you have, you need at least 10 encouragements to balance it. Because I could tell you all the discouragements I've had in the last few years, but I couldn't tell you many of the encouragements. So we need to be encouraging one another more than we discourage. It's scriptural. Encourage one another. Build each other up. Because that helps us to focus on our faith, on our journey, on reaching up, reaching out. Let's encourage one another. You know, I did a preach on everyday pastoral care, and I gave you a challenge, do you remember, to encourage 3 people that week. And it was lovely. The following week, so many people came up to me and were telling me stories of how they'd had received encouragement or they had given encouragement. And it really blessed everyone. Let's do that again this week. But we shouldn't have to have that challenge. It should be part of our DNA. So being a healthy church, yes, it's about reaching up, remembering who our cornerstone is, who we build our church on. But it's also about reaching in and caring for one another. But we also have a mission, and it's also about reaching out. And you can see that jigsaw looks nearly complete, but there's a missing piece. And in a sense, there'll always be a missing piece, because there are always people that need to know God's love. But we must not forget that we reach out for those lost pieces. That's our mission. That's what we we're called to do, to reach out for those lost pieces. And we've just done a whole series on mission. I'm not going to rehash that, but just a few ways that we could reach out. First of all, reaching out by love in action, because it's really good to tell people that God loves them, but it's even better when you show them as well. Loving your neighbour as yourself. There's so many different ways that we can show God's love in action. And we do it. We do it a lot. But it's remembering that we can always reach out more with love in action. Jesus himself said that when we do good deeds, that people's relationship with God can change. It says in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." If we are being the salt and the light in the world, it can make people question, who is this God? I want to praise this God. Now my nephew, lots of you will know my nephew Isaac, he's 10 now. And since he was 6, he's been fundraising. His best friend Finn has got type 1 diabetes. And Isaac, age 6, just couldn't cope with that Finn had to live his life differently, that there was a risk for Finn and others. And I really believe it was from God, the compassion that was put in his heart to raise money to find a cure for diabetes and to raise awareness. And he's been raising money ever since. He's climbed Snowdon, climbed Ben Nevis, done a 65-mile cycle, all sorts of things to raise money. But he has done it all because he loves Finn. And he doesn't say, "I love you, Finn," because boys don't do that, do they? But he does. And he does it because God's love is in his heart. Even at his young age, God has given him the capacity to show love like that. And we've recently found out that he's been awarded the Princess Diana Award for young people, which is, you know, a really amazing achievement. But when they announced it on social media, they said, "We'd like to introduce you to our change makers." And that phrase really struck with me, change makers. Isaac is a change maker because he's taken that love and he's done something with it. And he's made a difference. I want to be a change maker. Do you? A change maker. Let's reach out with that love in action and be change makers for God. Secondly, reaching out by serving. Now, this is what I'm passionate about. I've always been passionate about this, serving. Because I think it's just such a privilege. Yes, it can be really tiring, but it's a privilege to serve God, to reach out, to be ready to serve. And we don't see that in the world. Nobody wants to serve, really. I think it's probably more of a term that we use in church than anywhere. People don't want to serve, people want to lead or be served. But we should desire to reach out by serving. Why? Mark 10:45, "For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." And that is why I am passionate about serving, because Jesus was passionate about serving. There's the song we're going to sing later on. This is our God, the servant king. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant king. How do we bring our lives? How do we follow him? Reaching out with serving is one of those ways that we do that. For what he's done for us, we reach out with serving. And that could be giving your time, it could be giving your money, it could be giving your energy, different ways of serving. But we reach out by serving. And finally, we reach out with generosity. And this goes with the other two I've just done, because again, there's not a lot of that in the world. Generosity. But we have the opportunity to be different, to be generous. In the Messy Church tent last week in the festival, was saying, why are you not charging? This is really free. And Wendy gave a really good answer to somebody. She said, well, you know, God has been so generous in his love for us and in what he's done for us that we want to show that love to the community. Generous. Reaching out with generosity. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. There will be a harvest, and sometimes we don't see it for many, many years, and sometimes we don't see it. But if we just keep being generous with our time, with our money, with our energy, with our words, with our love, then God will take that and he will use it. As I was preparing this, I found a quote from a former General Secretary of the European Evangelical Alliance, and I just thought it really summed it up well. He said, generosity, the art of giving, will become an increasingly important subject to deal with in churches. It's necessary that the church shows a more convincing example of hospitality, care, giving time, energy, and money for the case of others. For no other reason than the full and unconditional grace of God in his Son, given to us who didn't deserve it at all. We didn't deserve God's generosity. In that song that we're going to sing, there in the garden of tears, my heavy load, he chose to bear. He bore my load, my sins, my sorrow, my shame, and yours. How generous that is. And so we too should be reaching out. If we're being a healthy church, reaching out with generosity. Being generous with our words, with our love, with our time. Wouldn't it be good to be that? Generous people. And I know that many of you are serving and are generous and are doing love in action and are caring for each other. But this is just a reminder that we need to keep doing it, to keep getting that balance, to having that church that is healthy. We have to be reaching in all three directions, up, in, and out. We can't take any of those away, because if we did, we would not be a healthy church. So we need to keep a focus on God. We need to look after one another, and we need to look out, reach out, for those who don't yet know God. So, the challenge this week is for us to consider, how can we take our reaching up to another level, our kingdom focus? What can we do to do that? How can we show friendship, support, or encouragement to some people in this family this week? Challenge ourselves to do that. And how can we give our time, our words, our money, our love more generously to reach out to the community and show them how much God loves them.